his heart, there is no God. And to be able to hold a newborn baby, to look at something as insignificant as fingernails on a baby that has just been born, it's mind-altering. And you just see the presence of a creator within that. Children, as they grow, the awesomeness in just watching their personalities come out. And have you ever noticed with, like, maybe a 1 to 2 year old child, it's not just the cuteness of their face, it's not just those little cheeks that you want to pinch, but even at that early of a stage, the personality that shines forth. Children are not very important. Society does not look to children to make major decisions, to everyone other than the loving parents, they tend to be a burden. They can't do anything on their own. If you were to have a club that you were to start, and you wish to recruit for that club, you probably would not go out and search for infants and toddlers, because they have no real status to give. Jesus, in our passage this morning, will once again address little children. And he'll give us an example that we can use. I'm going to read this morning's passage out of the King James Version, just because it's a very familiar passage that most of us know, and we know probably out of the King James. So Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say to you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. We hit a very difficult passage last week on divorce, and that was coming out of Jesus, his teachings with his disciples, as he's preparing them for him to leave. At this point, Jesus is in the last few months of his ministry. The cross is glaring down on him. And he has this opportunity where people are bringing children to him to be blessed. Now, this would have been seen as very common back during Jesus' day. As the people would bring their infants to the rabbis of their day to be blessed. The more famous the rabbi, the people saw that as the better the blessing. And often when we think of this picture, I think most of us generally will kind of see the mothers bringing their children to Jesus. But the tone of the wording from the original writings actually implies that it's the fathers or the men who are bringing the children. And I can't... Two pictures that I see in this to where we can relay modern day would be like a baby dedication or maybe a baby baptism that some of those in different churches would, the Lutherans and the Presbyterians would practice. And unfortunately, another aspect I see is just the picture of Santa Claus as people bring their children. And it almost made me wonder if that practice that we have today somehow originated out of back during this time. Not a very good example, but just how I kind of see things. As they were bringing their children. Now children, again as we said, they're helpless. They're weak and they're unimportant. Alistair Begg, as he was discussing this passage, he compared it to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God being for the weak, the helpless, and the unimportant. He even went as far as to say, unless we accept and receive the kingdom of God, on that basis, we will never inherit it. The disciples saw something different. They saw the children as being bothersome, as being a waste of time, something they just didn't have any time or use for. But I can imagine, too, the people bringing their children that day to have Jesus touch them. Thinking that someday, as the children grew up, they could tell stories of the day they had Jesus of Nazareth bless them. Well, the disciples, in the same manner that we generally see, we saw it recently, a few weeks ago, with the man who was not of them, but was still doing works in Jesus' name. We will see it in a few weeks with Bartimaeus, as they want nothing to do with him. As people come to Jesus and they try to shoo him away, thinking they're doing Jesus a favor. As we see in verse 14,
Jesus gets a little upset with this. His demeanor is not get rid of these children. Rather, he says, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I mean, Jesus is the Lord of creation. He has made everything, and nothing that has been made has not been made by Him. And Jesus here, in this simple act, this simple gesture, gives an invitation for these children to come and embrace Him. The parents that day, they have some expectations in their head. Notice the crowd here is not coming for miracles. They're not coming for healing. They're coming to have Jesus bless their children. I don't think that's out of the realm of reasonable expectations. I see that as being understandable. I mean, we might liken this practice today to, as I go out to different conferences, people in those conferences will be running up with their Bibles or maybe a book that somebody who's speaking there has written to have them sign it. Or getting a selfie with them. The people wanted their children blessed. Jesus, would you say a prayer for our child? The disciples' reaction is unexpected. I mean, here people are coming to the man of compassion. Wherever Jesus goes, his compassion flows. But yet the disciples show a lack of compassion. They're not making it easy for these people to see Jesus. Rather, they're trying to prevent it. Jesus shows this indignation. He gets a little perturbed with the disciples. This is not who he is. But the disciples, they're thinking, Jesus, we could get somebody important in here for you to spend time with. Maybe there are even people out in the crowd, high-ranking religious rulers, high-ranking political rulers. We have no time for the children. This child means nothing. Again, the disciples show no compassion. And the point here is not necessarily to be nice to children. I mean, we could take this passage and we could divide it up to, you know, people wanting to bring their dear children to Jesus, the disciples being bad disciples and shooing them away, Jesus being compassionate Jesus, bringing the children to him, and end the sermon with, be nice to children. We could say a prayer, sing a song, and we could go home. that's not the point of this passage. The point's not to be nice to children. Rather, verse 15, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all." Jesus uses the word or the phrase such as these, or as these. We need to come to Jesus in the manner of a little children, of a child. Remember, the kingdom of God is for the weak, the helpless, and the unimportant. Children definitely fit that characterization. Notice I didn't say the kingdom of God was for the innocent. Because anyone who has any experience whatsoever with raising a child know that the last thing they are innocent. How quickly they determine how to manipulate mom and dad. How to get their own way. How a one-year-old can go and climb upon their three-year-old sister to take away a toy that they want. Children are cute. They're cuddly. They're the center of our universe. But they're far from innocent in that way. They are helpless. They have no say whatsoever in anything that goes on in their life. An infant, a toddler, needs to be taken care of. They need someone else to make their decisions for them. They're small and they're helpless. Children are the supreme example of the needy, the lonely, and the helpless. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to people such as these. Those who are needy. Those who are lonely. Those who are helpless. Those who claim no merit of their own. Those who have no obvious importance. Those who have no status. For if we come to Jesus being the opposite or having the opposite of all of these characterizations, if we need nothing, if there's no loneliness within us, if we can do everything of our own, if we have a status in society, if we see ourselves as self-righteous and important, then what need we of Jesus? A child generally does not argue with you. If I were to give an infant a gift of a bottle, they're not going to look at me and say, "I want something else." Generally, even a small child, if you were to give them a piece of candy or some ice cream, they generally won't say, "Can I have chocolate?" It's when we get older. It's when we begin to mature in life that we start making demands on our situations. Jesus is trying to show his disciples, he's trying to show those that are around him, that the kingdom of God is not something that can be earned. It is not something that we can get out of reward for behavior. It's not something that we can work for. We need to come to terms that the kingdom of God, as Jesus presents it, is something to be accepted as a child would accept it. It must be something that's received, not earned or worked for. We're coming into Christmas. We're coming into the time where God becomes man, as the gift of God is born. And as the true gift of the season is the salvation that God presents. So many people come to their knowledge of God through what they perceive in their senses and their rationale and their what makes sense. Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul would say. And I concur. And until we come to the knowledge of God in that simplistic form, that Jesus died for sinners, I mean, we are the ones that distort God's grace. We're the ones that put do's and don'ts on things when it comes to salvation. I mean, we can't really come to terms with a salvation that we have nothing to do with. A child can. Because a child can't do anything on its own. And to come to a realization that the good news of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with what we need to do, but rather the good news has to do with what Jesus has already done. He has accomplished our salvation. As we're in this Christmas season, as we think of the incarnation of Jesus, as he becomes man, don't get things backwards. This is not a story of how man attempted to reach God, but rather a story of how God reached down to man. So, so many examples we have in the Bible of people who thought they were doing right. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, one of the premier teachers of the day, and asks Jesus how he could receive eternal life. Jesus didn't look at Nicodemus and say, "Oh, you're almost there. You have all this knowledge. You've done all these things." Jesus said, "No. Everything you have done is worthless. It's when you are born again, when you become new, that salvation is yours." We're going to look at the rich young ruler next week. Again, another man who comes to Jesus. How might I have eternal life? Jesus says, keep the Ten Commandments. He says, I do my best to do that. Jesus says, give away everything you own and come and follow me. An infant would do that. Because an infant would not know what he had. The rich young ruler walked away that day very sad because the Bible says he had very much. I think a good example of coming to Jesus as an infant is looking at the example of the thief on the cross. Here was a man that comes to Jesus with nothing to offer. He's in the final hours or minutes of his life. He has nothing to give Jesus. But he asks Jesus, would you remember me? And the Savior looked over and said, today you will be with me in paradise. What is it that we feel that we're giving in order for God to be pleased with us? Maybe it's attending church. When I was growing up, it was me keeping my hair short. It was Beth never wearing a pair of pants. So many things that we were doing to seek God's favor. When Jesus says we need to just come to Him as a young child. The end of our passage today, it says he took them in his arms and he began blessing them and laying his hands on them. Jesus was taking the young children, lovingly showing this example of his love and his compassion. What do we get out of this then? It's a cute little story. Again, we could walk away saying, oh, okay, be nice to children. Let's make sure we've come to Jesus in acknowledgement that we have nothing to offer Him. We come to Him realizing that everything we do is because of Him. Every time we see a young child, we should
think and be grateful of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We muddy the waters so much. We try in our good motives to make so much out of things, when in reality, what our purpose needs to be is going back to the first chapter of Mark. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Is that the beginning of our message? Is that what everything that we do centers around? Can we accept that in the way that an infant accepts the love and gifts of their parents? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we could spend together. Lord, realizing that our salvation is all of you. That, Father, we don't contribute anything to it. But, Father, it's a free gift that you give to your people. Father, I'm thankful for the work that you're doing in the lives of those in this church today. Lord, as we are becoming more and more like you, and Father, as you grant us the gift of salvation, as we live within your family, as we search out your word and how to live, as your Spirit moves us toward a greater likeness of you, and Father, we will look more like you. We will act more like you. We will do those things and have those desires that you have. Not because we wish to please you, but rather because it is who we are as you mold us into that perfect image of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we live this life, we know we will never get to a point of perfection. Lord, we look to that day we will be with you, Lord, for our sanctification to be complete. But Father, may we try all the more to be more like you. Forgive us where we fall. Uphold us in those areas that we do well. May we love people and show them you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 506.